Okay, we've been talking about doubt all month, and today we're going to talk about carrying our doubt together as whatever group we happen to be in. So at first, it may sound like a crazy phrase to talk about divine doubt. Many of us were taught that doubt was something to get rid of, something that we learned if we had enough faith, we would never question, never wonder, or never feel uncertain. But life teaches us something deeper than that. Doubt is not always the enemy of faith. Sometimes doubt is the doorway into deeper faith. Sometimes doubt is the soul's way of saying, I'm ready to grow. Sometimes doubt does not mean we have lost our way. It means the old way of seeing is no longer large enough for us, and then life is trying to emerge differently through us. There's an old saying that says, the opposite of faith is not doubt, but certainty. I think there's truth in that, especially when certainty becomes very, very rigid. Rigid certainty closes the door. It stops the conversation. It says, I already know what I need to know. But living faith stays open. Living faith can say, I know there's a truth greater than what I can see right now, and I'm willing to be guided. Today we're going to talk about carrying our doubt together. But we're not just talking about private doubt. We're talking about the kind we carry inside ourselves. We're talking about the doubts we carry together as families, friends, communities, spiritual centers, or the human family. The question for today is this: what power and possibility lives inside our collective uncertainty? There's a story about a woman who went to a community meeting. She wanted to make a difference. She had a beautiful picture in her mind of how this would go. She imagined thoughtful people sitting in a circle, listening respectfully, sharing good ideas, collaborating beautifully, and even appreciating and expanding each other's insights with soft, inspirational music. Instead, within the first 10 minutes, they were complaining, disagreement, shouting, accusation. She sat there stunned and thought, oh my God, these people are a mess. And then she had another realization. I'm one of these people. That is a spiritual awakening right there. It's easy to talk about love in theory. It's easy to talk about unity in principle. It's easy to say we are all one until someone disagrees with us, challenges us, challenges our point of view, points out something we don't like, or says things we're not sure any conscious person would say. Then oneness suddenly feels a little more advanced. That is why our spiritual practice becomes real. It's not only about what we believe when everyone is kind, the room is peaceful, life is going our way. It's about who we choose to be when people are different from us, when the conversation gets uncomfortable, when we feel uncertain, and we do not know what comes next. So let's begin with something simple and honest. Doubt is a human experience. Every one of us has doubted. We've doubted ourselves. We've doubted our choices. We've doubted whether life is working for us. We've doubted whether healing was possible. We've doubted whether prayer was making any difference. And we've doubted whether love could really overcome fear. And because we are human, we do not doubt alone. We also doubt together. We can feel collective uncertainty in the room. We can feel it in the news. We can feel it in our conversations. We feel it when family is strained, when community is changing, or when the world feels unstable. Right now, there is uncertainty all around us. There is uncertainty about truth, uncertainty about peace, uncertainty about the economy, uncertainty about violence, uncertainty about the future, and uncertainty about whether people can still truly listen to one another. We ask questions like, is it going to be okay? Can we really heal this? Are people too divided? Is peace possible? Is love strong enough? And what is mine to do? These are not small questions, they're soul questions. They're community questions. They're sacred questions. Collective doubt does not mean that we are weak. It means that we are connected. In Science of Mind, we teach there is one mind, one life, one presence moving through all. If that is true, then we are not isolated little islands of thought. We are part of a larger field of consciousness. What moves through the collective can touch the individual. What heals in the individual can bless the collective. If we can feel through community, Courage can move through a community. Its uncertainty can spread, just as faith can spread. If despair can feel contagious, hope can feel contagious too. That is why this matters. One of the most loving things a spiritual community can do is make room for honesty. Not drama, not complaint as a lifestyle, not rehearsing fear over and over until we believe it more deeply. I'm talking about honest spiritual sharing. Honesty says, this is what I'm feeling. I don't have all the answers today. I believe in God, but I'm also feeling uncertain. I know the truth, but I still need somebody to sit with me while I remember it. That kind of honesty is holy. A spiritual community is not a place where we perform perfection. It is a place where we remember that we all belong and we are all still growing. Healing begins when people discover this. I don't have to perform perfection to belong. That matters. So many people move through life believing they hide many parts of themselves. They hide their fears, their grief, their uncertainty, their struggles, and even their questions about God, faith, or life itself. But real spiritual community invites us to bring our whole selves into the light, not so we can stay stuck, but so we can be loved, healed, and transformed. That does not lower the consciousness of the room. It actually makes the room more honest. And when honesty is held in spirit, it becomes holy ground. Ernest Holmes taught that spiritual experience comes as we realize the presence that binds all together in one complete whole. That experience often comes in the stillness of the soul, when the outer noise quiets and the storm of human strife begins to calm. That does not mean we deny the storm. It means we do not let the storm be the only voice in the room. We pause, we breathe, and we return to the deeper presence. And sometimes we need each other to help us do that. You know, Howard Thurman wrote about the fellowship of suffering and the community of sufferers. He understood that suffering can make us feel isolated. It can turn us inward. It can make us feel as if no one else understands. And yet he also saw that when our energy becomes focused, something deeper can become available. There's a strange grace in that. You know, when pain, doubt, or uncertainty gathers our attention, it can be destructive if we only spiral in fear. It becomes transformative when we bring spiritual awakeness to it. Think about a family gathered around a hospital bed. Nobody's pretending. No one's saying, well, this is easy. But something sacred can happen here. Old resentments kind of fade away. Love becomes more important than being right. Presence becomes more important than words, and prayers become simple and real. Or think about a community after a loss. People bring food. They make calls. They sit together. They cry together. No one has all the answers, but love begins to take form. Think about a spiritual community going through change. There may be questions. There may be uncertainty. There may be doubt about what comes next. But if we bring our questions into the light, we can discover something together that none of us could find alone. That is the gift of carrying doubt together. So doubt can isolate us when we hide it, but it can connect us when we share it with love. Howard Thurman also said, there must be community. Not because we're all the same, not because we all agree, not because community is always easy. There must be community because something in the human soul longs to belong, and something in the divine life calls us into that relationship. We gather not to impress one another. We gather to strengthen one another. We gather not to prove how spiritual we are. We gather to practice being human with consciousness. Sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is to simply show up honestly, especially when we would rather not. One of the great paradoxes of humanity is this. The very things that create collective uncertainty also become the things that can pull us toward one another. When uncertainty rises, people often become rigid, reactive, defensive, or silent. We retreat into tribes. We surround ourselves with only people that think like we do. We become suspicious of differences, or we avoid meaningful conversations altogether and stay focused only on what we think is comfortable and safe. But uncertainty can also be a doorway. Throughout history, humanity has evolved because someone was willing to doubt what others thought normal. Someone doubted that slavery was moral. Someone doubted that women should remain voiceless. Someone doubted that hatred and division were humanity's highest expression. And someone doubted that LGBTQ people should live without dignity or belonging. In those moments, doubt was not a failure of faith. Doubt became the beginning of an awakening. Someone looked at the world as it was and said, "This can't be the highest possibility." Someone felt the discomfort of what was and became willing to imagine what could be. Someone allowed the divine satisfaction to become a holy question. Is this who we really are? Is this what love would create? Is there something more waiting to emerge? You know, Holmes wrote, "Evolution is an eternal unfoldment of the more yet to be." You know, that phrase matters because it points us towards something practical. The more yet to be begins when people recognize something needs healing, something needs changing, and something needs more loving to try to emerge. This isn't about blame. This is not about shame. It's about deciding who is right. It's not about deciding who is right and who is wrong. It's about letting love lift our vision higher. Part of humanity's invitation right now is not avoiding difficult conversations, but becoming conscious enough to hold them with wisdom and compassion. Choosing compassion over certainty, choosing humanity over ideology, choosing curiosity over defensiveness, choosing respect over the need to be right. But we also need to say this with tenderness. Not every silence is cowardice. Not every conversation is wise. We are living a time when people we love may be receiving very different versions of what's happening in the world. Through news sources, media feeds, algorithms, people are often shown more of what confirms what they already know, believe, fear, or engage with. Two sincere people can deeply care about the truth and be shaped by very different streams of information. So when families and friendships feel strained, it's not always because people have stopped loving each other. Sometimes the outer world has been working on their inner world, feeding fear, suspicion, certainty, and separation. Sometimes we know that saying everything we may believe may not change a mind, but it might damage a relationship that we still cherish. That's not a simple thing. That's a real spiritual discernment issue. There are times when love speaks clearly, and there are times when love listens deeply. There are times when love waits, and there are times when love sets a boundary. There are also times when love chooses not to enter a conversation because the relationship itself is sacred and fragile. This does not mean we abandon truth. It means we ask how truth can be carried by love. The sacred pause helps us deepen questions before we speak, argue, withhold, or react. What have I been feeding my mind? What has been shaping my reactions? Am I seeing this person through love or only through the issue we disagree about? Am I staying silent from fear or from love? Am I speaking from love or from the need to win? Is this conversation mine to enter into today? Sometimes it's not. Can I hold respect for the person when I deeply disagree with them? And what would love do next? Sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is speak, but sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is listen. Sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do quietly is keep the door of love open. We are not called to win every argument. We are called to stay awake in love. We also need to be honest about boundaries. Staying awake in love does not mean we give unlimited space to people who continually disrespect us, diminish us, or harm our peace. Love does not require us to stand in the path of someone else's anger, contempt, or cruelty. Sometimes the most loving thing we can do is create distance, not as a punishment, but as a protection. You know, boundary says, "I honor the divine in you, but I also honor the divine in me." There are relationships where a very different conversation may deepen understanding, and there are relationships where repeated conversations only reopen the same wound. Spiritual maturity helps us know the difference. We can love someone and still limit what we discuss with them. We can bless someone and not give them full access to our inner life. We can forgive someone and still choose distance. This is not hatred, This is wisdom. Love keeps the heart open, but wisdom decides how close to make the chairs. I'll say that again. Love keeps the heart open, but wisdom decides how close the chair is. I think that is a very profound thing for us all to remember, because it starts with love. So we can refuse to let the noise of the world steal the love that lives beneath disagreement. Another good phrase. Avoiding difficult conversations does not create true unity, but forcing conversations without love doesn't create unity either. Unity is born when we bring up consciousness, courage, humility, compassion, and healthy boundaries into the space between us. Perhaps communal uncertainty is not here to divide us. Perhaps it is here to deepen us. Perhaps it is asking us to become people who can tell the truth without losing love, hold conviction without losing compassion, and stay open at the top, even when the world around us feels closed and divided. So our affirmation for this week is, I share the power of potential, the power and potential of collective uncertainty. You know, that phrase points us to a new relationship with uncertainty. Instead of saying, we don't know, so we're all doomed. We don't know yet. Let's say, we don't know yet. Let's listen more deeply. Instead of saying we are uncertain or something is wrong, the collective curiosity says we are uncertain or something new may be trying to emerge. Instead of saying I have questions, so I must not have faith, the collective curiosity says my question may be inviting me into a more deeper and loving faith. That's what it means to be open at the top. Being open at the top does not mean we believe everything, anything and everything. It means we stay humble enough to know that more truth can be revealed. It means we do not present our understanding as the final word of God. Spiritual maturity asks us to hold what we know while staying open to what we do not yet know. Rumi said, sell your cleverness and buy bewilderment. That sounds like divine doubt to me. Sometimes our cleverness wants everything figured out. It wants a neat answer, a quick answer, an answer that makes us feel safe. But bewilderment can open us up. Wonder can soften us. Curiosity can bring us back into the relationship with spirit, with life, and with one another. So maybe the better question is, how do I get rid of uncertainty? The deeper question is, what is uncertainty asking of me? Is it asking for more compassion, more courage, more listening, more participation, more willingness to see through my spiritual laws? Communal healing does not happen through spectatorship. It happens through conscious participation. You know, small acts matter. Small kindnesses matter. Small moments of connection matter. A world that works for everyone is created one conversation, one act of compassion, and one courageous moment at a time. And that's not small, that's spiritual passion in motion. So Holmes taught that there is one great subjective mind, and what we call our subjective mind is our individual use of the one law. In older language, Holmes also spoke of what he called race consciousness. Today we might likely call this collective suggestion or collective self-consciousness. I think that's more appropriate for today's wording. In plain language, it means we pick up things from the world around us. You know, we pick up things from our families. We pick up things from our culture. We pick up fear from the news. We pick up assumptions from childhood. We pick up limitations from groups we belong to. Today, we also pick up repeated messages from phones, feeds, headlines, and conversations that keep shaping what truth feels safe, dangerous, true, or possible. Sometimes we are carrying doubts that didn't begin with us. A person might doubt their worth because they grew up in a family who felt love was conditional. A community might doubt its future because it's been through loss or conflict. A nation might doubt its ability to heal because division has been repeated so often that people begin to think that division is just normal. But here's the good news. What has been learned can be unlearned. What has been accepted can be questioned. What can be carried unconsciously can be brought into more light. And once something is brought into light, then it can be healed. That is why naming our uncertainty matters. When I say, I'm afraid we are too divided, someone else might quietly say, I'm felt that too. When I say, I sometimes wonder if prayer is making any difference. Someone else might say, thank you. I thought I was the only one. When I say I'm not sure what comes next, but I'm willing to listen, the room kind of changes. Naming uncertainty with love can free us from shame. And once shame is gone, curiosity can return. So how do we carry our doubt together? Well, we begin with a sacred pause. It's not a dramatic pause. It's not a pause to avoid action. A sacred pause is a moment when we stop long enough to remember who we really are. And when you notice doubt or uncertainty rising, pause and ask, what am I feeling? What am I afraid might happen? Am I alone in this? Or is something many of us are carrying? What deeper truth is trying to be remembered here? What would love do next? You know, that last question really matters. Not fear, not ego, not the need to be right, but what would love do next? The sacred pause gives spirit room to speak. It helps us move from reaction to response. And when a community learns to pause together, the community becomes spiritually powerful. Now we are not simply reacting to conditions, we are creating from consciousness. So what's ours to do this week? Well, I invite you to notice where you normally shut down or pull away from difficult conversations or differences. Remember, I just said notice. Maybe it's with a family member. Maybe it's with a friend. Maybe it's when you hear something on the news. Maybe when it's when someone you see in life looks at something differently than you do. Maybe even a part of your uncertainty and you'd rather ignore it. Instead of reacting immediately, pause and ask, what would love, curiosity, or understanding look like? Then take one small step. The step might be listening more openly. It might be asking a thoughtful question. It might be checking in on someone. It might be staying present in a conversation you would normally avoid. And sometimes the next loving step is not a conversation. It's a wise pause, a boundary, or a loving distance. Sometimes love asks us to stay open in our heart while choosing not to step back into the same old argument, the same room, the same disrespect. And that too can be sacred. The practice is not to win. The practice is to stay awake. The practice is to let love grow between words and our silence. We don't have to carry our doubts alone. That is one of the great gifts of spiritual community. We belong to one life. We belong to one presence. We are guided by one spirit. There is one power greater than fear, a wisdom greater than our confusion, and a love greater than our uncertainty. Questions may visit us. Uncertainty may stretch us. Life may ask more of us than we thought we could ever give. But when we bring our questions into spiritual community, into prayer, into love, and into the stillness of the soul, doubt can become a doorway to deeper honesty, a doorway to greater compassion, and a doorway to stronger faith, and also a doorway to collective healing. So this week, we may not be afraid of the question. May we not be afraid of the question. May we gather them together. May we listen beneath them. May we let them lead us, not into fear, but into wonder. And may we remember the truth. We share the power and potential of collective curiosity. And so let's close by knowing the truth together. So I ask you all to just take a deep breath, settle into your seat, become aware of where you are right now. And I will say that there is one life, one mind, one presence, one infinite love. This presence is whole, wise, compassionate, creative, and always available. It is the quiet power beneath every question, the steady love beneath every uncertainty, and the divine wisdom forever guiding life forward into greater wholeness. This one life is my life now. It is the life of each person here. It is a life within our families, our friendships, our spiritual community, and our world. We are not separate from this presence. We are expressions of it. We are rooted in it. We are guided to it. Even in moments of doubt, uncertainty, or division, the deeper truth remains. We belong to spirit, we belong to one another, and we belong to the unfolding good of life. So I affirm that every question, every doubt, and every uncertainty is held in the light of spirit. I affirm that we are guided to speak when love calls us to speak, to listen when love calls us to listen, to pause when wisdom asks us to pause, and to set boundaries when love requires protection and respect. I affirm that we are not here to win every argument. We are here to stay awake in love. We are here to let truth be carried by our compassion, courage, humility, and grace. I affirm that this community is open at the top. We are open to greater wisdom and deeper listening, stronger compassion, and a more loving faith. Collective doubt becomes collective curiosity. Collective curiosity becomes sacred participation. And sacred participation becomes a way for love to take form in our words, our choices, our relationships, and in our world. I give thanks for this truth. I give thanks for the courage to be honest, the wisdom to be kind, and the strength to set healthy boundaries, and also the grace to keep our heart open. I give thanks that Spirit is already at work in us, through us, and as us. So I release these words into the law, knowing that it is fulfilled in the mind of God. I let it be. I trust the unfolding. I allow love to lead the way, and so it is. Thank you.